Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Primetime here on Money FM. Now, according to the Ministry of Manpower, employers who are retrenching employees must give notice and offer retrenchment benefits to eligible employees. Now, retrenchments are inevitable, unfortunately, especially in today's disrupted and volatile business environment. But the unpleasant exercise can still accord employees dignity and needn't be clinical and just about safeguarding operations.
So what are the taboos surrounding retrenchment exercises and what constitutes best practices for HR and business leaders in today's complex corporate environment? Well, we chat with our resident career coach, Adrian Chu, CEO and founder of Career Agility International, who has also recently co-wrote a book about their career coach, Chi Ziyan, called The Exit Management Handbook. Well, Adrian, welcome back to the show. Let's start with what the taboos surrounding retrenchment exercises are from the employer's perspective.
Well, the employers, whenever they do a retrenchment exercise, a lot of times it's surrounded with a bit of negativity. Some employers want to play it down. They don't want the news or the press to get hold of it, so they keep it very quiet and play it down. Or sometimes they don't even want to name it as a retrenchment exercise, so they name it as a mass exit kind of thing.
Okay.
And that has happened with a few other companies before. When that happens, they sometimes don't give the compassion or dignity that's accorded to staff that are leaving. So when that happens, news get out to the press, and then all negativity will just come out out into the open.
Right. So, okay, say from the employee's perspective, how have they come to view retrenchment? It is a negative thing, though, yeah, Adrian, unfortunately.
It is. So in the old days, retrenchment used to have a very negative connotation. But today, because of the nature of the economy, the nature of the gig economy, we see retrenchments becoming more and more common. So as a result now, we are seeing people who've been retrenched twice or even twice. And
wow.
they're getting even younger. So much so that today when someone who's been retrenched goes for an interview, and when the hiring manager says, "So why do you leave company X?" and they say, "I've been retrenched," it's like, "Oh, okay, next question." So it's coming to quite a normal thing nowadays.
Oh, okay.
Well, we also noted, Adrian, that retrenchment numbers have remained relatively low in recent years. Why was it important for you to kind of release your guide, though? I mean, is there a demand for it?
Do you know something we don't?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, numbers next year seem to indicate that we are heading into some dark clouds. So we anticipate the number of retrenchments to inch up, either very slowly at the first part, but with the impending trade war looming, lots of changes to the market, we are seeing a trend next year, might see a bit more. So we wrote the book because we wanted to ensure that companies have no excuse now to say, "I do not know what the best practices are." So once the book is out and it's been published, it's out in the market, companies can't say, "Hey, I didn't know we were supposed to do that anymore."
Right. Okay, before we get into the book, give us an idea of whether you think Singapore's current framework, though, is adequate in terms of seeking that balance between interests of businesses and interests of employees.
That's a very good question.
From we only our have a few minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Very few. Okay. In a nutshell, no. It's right now it's slanted very much pro-business.
Okay.
Because if any regulation that determines the amount of payout to the employee being retrenched, it's just guidelines. So even if a company doesn't want to pay out just give the minimum, barest minimum of the notice period,
there are no consequences.
There's no consequences, as opposed to other countries where you can actually bring the employer to court.
Well, we're talking to Adrian Chu, CEO and founder of Career Agility International. He's our resident career coach here as well on the show. So how does a poorly handled retrenchment exercise, Adrian, ruin the company's image and reputation? I mean, is there any examples to quote for us?
Lots of examples going around, most recent one in the press. But one thing we've realized is that when a company invests a lot of money to protect and build its brand image, the employer reputation in the market, and you can just ruin everything. For instance, in 2008, during the financial crisis, a bank behaved really badly and let everyone go, let the staff go by notifying them in the lobby of the building.
Oh,
if your access card didn't go through, you're out. You go. We'll go queue up over there where HR is waiting with your box of stuff.
Why though? Why do it in such a arbitrary, exactly, almost looking fashion.
Yeah. So they did it that way because they wanted it to be expedient. They wanted it to be out and fast. But what happened is that even months and years on, right now, the talent acquisition department of that particular bank, whenever they try to hire people and they say, no, I'm not joining you guys. I remember what you did to them 8 years ago. So the reputation stays and it hurts you in the long run. The other thing that works against you as well is if you mistreat the people who are leaving, the people whom you want to keep, the people who are staying behind, have eyes open and they're saying, oh, that's how you're going to treat me when my time comes. I'll be sending out my CVs right now. So you're going to experience a talent flight the moment you misbehave to staff that are leaving. So in many ways, it will affect your business. And that's why you have HR and the businesses involved have to treat the retrenchment exercise as a serious activity with repercussions. And therefore, it has been managed very compassionately and professionally.
Okay, so let's talk about that exit management skill, so to speak. The HR practitioners need to now master this because, as you were saying, it's more common than ever. So how detailed does it have to be? Being skillful at exit management.
Yeah, so one of the things that we discovered as we were researching and writing the book from our experience, as well as interviewing very senior HR leaders, exit management is actually a skill that needs to be picked up by HR. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this topic of exit management is not taught in HR school. Mm-hmm. So that's why we came about to write the book. The bottom line is it has to be planned. And there are lots of preparations that need to be done even before the exit. So right down to the smallest detail of the packages must all be calculated beforehand, right down to the room where you're going to notify the employee. You've got to have tissue there. You've got to have water and everything. Yeah. Uh-huh. And of course, consultants on hand as well. Consultants like us who are there to mediate or to manage the situation should something get out of hand.
It almost sounds like grief counseling.
Yeah,
it is.
Right?
It is. Yeah. It has to be very professionally managed and not like, hey, let's fire 50 people tomorrow. Okay, where's my list? So you have to, it has to be very planned, very measured. And even after the exercise has been executed, there's still healing to do with the people who are staying behind and there's still a lot of management. So we detail all that in the book.
All right. Big thanks to Adrian Chu, CEO and founder of Career Agility International. The ebook is available for download for a small fee at their website, careeragility.org. The book in question is The Exit Management Handbook. Adrian, thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.